Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, the last day of July. I'm Brian Shields. Are you in the market for a new home or are you planning to put your property up for sale? We have two real estate professionals in the studio today to take your calls and answer your questions. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District are waiting for your questions. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Other ways to get in touch with us, and we'll explain those right after the break. Real Estate Today, Renata, Alex, and your calls right after the news. Thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop. I'm Brian Shields. Are you buying or selling a home or residential property? We have two real estate professionals with us today to answer your questions. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District and also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. The number to call today, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop. Email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. But the phones are open, 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Alex and Renata, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We were just talking about interest rates, and they're pretty favorable nowadays. And the Fed is meeting, I think, as we speak. They could go even lower. What are you hearing these days?
I don't know. I can't imagine them going any lower than they already are. So we've had a couple people close 30-year conventional mortgage at 3.8%. Mm-hmm. So how far can they go, Alex?
Yeah, no, I agree with Renata. I think I'm not sure rates are going to dip down too much further. I think they're historically low. I think we saw these rates about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's pretty incredible that in the last 4 years, interest rates haven't really moved. They moved up and down, but they haven't significantly increased.
When they get this low, do the lenders sort of tack on fees and paperwork fees and points, et cetera, to try to make a little extra? Do you have to watch out for that?
No, we're not. You don't have to watch out for that. But if you want to understand the actual cost of the mortgage, each loan officer has to print the APR. Mm-hmm. So you have the interest rate, but then the APR includes all sorts of all costs and fees. So if you ever want to compare apples to apples, look at the APR.
What are the benefits and drawbacks of a 15-year compared to a 30?
Well, I think the biggest issue with a 15-year is your monthly payment is going to be significantly higher.
Probably twice as much.
Yeah. So, you know, most people get a 30-year fixed rate because they can't afford the 15-year payment. So as I tell people, get the 30-year, and if you find that you have more cash, you can always pay it down sooner.
Mm-hmm.
The interest rate, I don't know, might be a quarter to a half point difference between a 30-year and a 15-year, but the payment is significant.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions today in comments, WAMC Vox Pop. Email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello, and the call's already coming in. We go to Berkshire County first. Ben, go ahead.
My girlfriend and I are in the infancy of deciding if or, you know, when to buy a home. We're in Massachusetts. A lot of my friends and family that have bought a home recently have taken advantage of FHA loans. We are most interested in a multifamily home, just to offset the cost of ownership. And I guess my question is can you use an FHA loan, which it, as it's explained to me, seems to be like you're able to put less down, good for first-time home buyers. Are you able to use that on a multifamily home?
Yeah, you can, as long as it's your primary residence. So the FHA wants you to be living in one of the units. And it is
perfect.
Yeah, it is advantageous to use the FHA because you actually can put less money down, and you could actually increase your seller's concessions up to 6%. So you could technically get into a home at 103% loan. So depending what your financial status is and how much liquid money you have for the closing costs, it's a really great option.
Okay, perfect. That was my only question.
Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. When you're taking out a loan from a bank or whatever, do they require a specific down payment? And usually how much is that? What percentage of the loan?
Well, typically the FHA, so it really depends on how much liquid money you have. So the FHA allows you to put down as little as 3.5%. Conventional loan, you can get a 3% down payment conventional loan, but you have to have very good credit.
Right.
And, 10% down, 15% down, if you can put 20% down on a loan, there's no mortgage insurance. So less of a risky loan.
Yeah, I always like to remind buyers, though, sometimes buyers think they need 20% down to buy a house, and you don't.
Right.
There are a lot of different loan products out there, as Renata mentioned. Actually, if you're a veteran, there's a VA loan product,
yes,
which is 0% down. Or if you're buying in a rural area, there's a USDA loan product, which is also zero down. But it's important to remember that besides the down payment, you also have closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
So even on a zero down loan, you need cash to purchase the house, usually for closing costs.
Real Estate Today on Vox Pop at 800-348-2551. Greg in Petersburg.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
I just bought a little house and was wondering what would be the upcharge in insurance if I was to rent it out. Would it cost more to insure it, or is it in primary residence, does it cost less?
No, it probably will cost moderately more to rent it out, so your insurance costs may go up. Obviously, you'd want to talk to your insurance agent, but I'm not sure it's going to be a significant increase in your insurance costs.
It depends what kind of investment it is, though. So say you're investing in student rentals and you're in a college town, that will significantly increase that homeowner's insurance because of the liability that it's a riskier insurance, and the insurance companies are worried.
Gotcha. I appreciate your help. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
So FYI, I just got a text that the interest rates, the Feds actually lowered the interest rates
really?
By 0.25%.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wrong.
800-3-
Good news.
That's good news for the for the buyers, I guess, right?
Yeah, a little bit more.
A little bit
buying
lower
power.
Loans. Let's talk now to George in Saratoga. George.
Hi, I'm not sure whether this is a better question for a lawyer or our two realtors, but maybe you can just give me a little heads up on this. I have a neighbor that's persisting in doing work on my property, like taking down a tree last year, and then this year they just decided to, they did work on this beautiful vine on the other side of the trellis, and I'm like at wit's end. I don't know whether to go to a lawyer or just, you know, put the count to 10 and do what I want to do.
That sounds like a lawyer question, but anybody want to jump in?
Well, are they're doing work on your property?
Well, they're on the other, we'll just say the other side of the fence, but there's about 2 feet before the property line hits their house.
Okay.
So if I want to have the shrubs a little longer or shorter, that's my business, not theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, something under my purview.
Right. Obviously, you'd want to talk to an attorney, but if you have a survey, they're not allowed. Your neighbor's not allowed to take a tree down that's on your property. So it's definitely worth. And in fact, I think in New York State law, there's specific dollar amounts that you can be awarded per tree that somebody takes down on your property.
Interesting.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If it is your tree and it's encroaching into somebody else's yard, it's technically still your tree or your shrubbery. So, I mean, I guess best advice would be to have a conversation with
mm-hmm.
your neighbor and see if you can work it out amicably. But interestingly enough, I did not know that you get money for if you cut down somebody's tree.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. If your tree is overhanging your neighbor's property line, they can basically cut up along their property line and cut your tree that's hanging over, but they can't go across
Correct.
Onto your property and take it down.
I remember when we were looking for a house years ago, a shared driveway that kind of steered us away from it. That kind of thing just, you might have the best neighbor in the world, but be careful, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. Is it tough when you're showing a home and you know you've got the open house and right next door there's a keg party with rock and roll blasting? Do you ever have that problem? I mean, can neighbors hurt a sale?
Absolutely. I always tell my buyers, you know, do a drive by before we look at a property that you're interested in. Make sure you like the neighborhood, mm-hmm. that you like the neighbors next to you, because ultimately we cannot change the neighbor that lives there. Yeah. And there's once in a while there's either a rough neighbor or somebody that likes to blast their music, and it could be something that, you know, could hinder that decision.
You're listening to Vox Pop. We're talking real estate today. Renata Lewis is with us. Alex Monticello is here. Your call's 800-348-2551. Amy in Northampton, go ahead.
Hello, and I would just like to say, Renata, I know you know this. You work with a great company. I work for the same company, Keller Williams, here in the Pioneer Valley in Northampton.
Hey, Amy.
I'd just like to say, ask both of you, actually, what is the inventory that you're seeing there in the greater Albany area? Is it solidly a seller's market? I'm just very curious what's happening over there. Are you guys seeing, you know, properties getting snapped up quickly, multiple offers? Are you seeing kind of even the lesser property, the tougher rehabs also getting snapped up? Would love to hear if you both want to comment on what the environment is there, and are you solidly in a very strong seller's market?
I would say we are still in a seller's market, definitely pocket areas where we live, where you'll still see, you know, 6, 7, 8 to 10 offers on a property. But at the same time, I feel there's areas that are definitely balancing out a little bit because the buyers are, in a way, protesting, saying we're done paying these high prices and we don't want to compete in the multiple offer situation. So I think that's balancing the market in some of the areas. Flips, I don't really do a lot of flips, but it seems like anything that is priced very well and it's a flip-worthy property, it goes very, very quickly. What do you think, right, Alex?
Yeah, I think, Amy, what we're seeing is the market is balancing out a little bit. It's becoming a little bit more less competitive, as Renata's mentioning, than it was earlier in the year for buyers. The inventory, I was just looking at the numbers from June, and the month supply of inventory is at 5.5 months. So 6 months we consider to be a balanced market. So I think we're getting closer to a more balanced market, but still sellers, I think, have a bit of an advantage. Interestingly enough, in June, closed sales were down 6 point, let me get these numbers right because I wrote them down. Closed sales were down 20% in June compared to the same month last year, but prices were up about 2.6%. So it's interesting. We're seeing sales go down, but prices are still rising a little bit.
Got it. And just quickly before I cut it loose, what's the county there? Like Albany is Albany County, and then there's three or so counties around there. Generally, you get kind of a 3 or 4 county cluster, and for the average area for that group, you'll have an average home price. Do you have an idea what that bracket is? What is the average home price over there?
It's, region-wide, it's about $225,000.
Okay.
And, you know, our sales are about in our company, it's about $250,000.
Yeah, I think we're closer to 275. I think that was our last meeting that we were looking at. It really depends. Like Saratoga County is a much different animal. Very different pricing. I call it Little Manhattan. But on average, you know, Albany County, Rensselaer County, Schenectady County, you know, it's, I guess the average on MLS is, I think, the 225. We're seeing a little bit higher within the company.
Right. Thank you so much, and I hope you both have a great rest of the year.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Amy. 800-348-2551. Real Estate on Vox Pop. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Pelham Auto Service, Route 9 at the Amherst Belchertown line at the sign of the Flying Pig. Worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York. featuring up-close and personal animal encounters with Adirondack Wildlife. Wildcenter.org for details.
You're listening to Vox Pop. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here. Renata Lewis with Keller Williams Capital District. Also, the Renata V. Lewis team is here. We're taking real estate questions. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, 800-348-2551. Mike is calling from Walden. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wondering, me and my wife are doing a short sale on a house, trying to purchase. I'm just wondering what kind of, you know, details you can give me, any of your past experiences with short sales and that kind of thing. I know it can be a waiting game for a lot of it, but just trying to see what the steps are a little bit more concise and clearly.
I think it's really important to know how far along the short sale is as far as the hardship. I think a lot of the short sales will take much longer if the seller side is not completely in place, meaning has the seller applied for the hardship? Has it been approved? Has the bank decided what number they want to work with? Once you get to that point, it's a standard 6 to 8 week process. It's getting to that point that it gets sticky because, you know, how many hands does it change and who's making the decision process?
Okay, great. Because right now, I mean, we put in the offer and the homeowner's accepting. They're having a little bit of marital issues. But so we're waiting on homeowners still yet to approve. Does that get sent to the bank?
Correct, yeah. So the bank acts as the third person. So it's that middle person that they do have to approve as well. And are the sellers working with an agent?
Yes.
Okay. Are you working with an agent?
Yes.
Okay, I would have your agent, and I'm sure they have already done this, discuss with the other agent how far along that hardship is at and if there is a specific number that the bank is going to be willing to work with, because that's a really important factor and for you to know whether or not it's worth for you to wait the 3 to 6 months to close on that property.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Alex.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. Kelly in Ulster County.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry. I'm driving in my car. So I have a question about, I have a house in High Falls that I want to sell, and it's a high, you know, demand area. And I was thinking of putting it on myself to start with, but if there are real estate agents out there that have buyers looking, will they cut you and just take like a seller's fee?
So you're talking about listing it for sale by owner?
Yeah, as me as the owner. And then like if there's people looking, if there's, you know,
right,
somebody working with an agent, is it legally possible for them to come and say, we have a seller for you, and then that person checks, obviously?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. If you're doing it for sale by owner, you can offer a 2.5% or a co-broke commission to the buyer's agent who brings a qualified buyer. And, you know, I recommend doing that to your point so that the buyer's agents won't discriminate, right? They'll show your house just like they would any other.
Huh. I didn't really realize you could do that. And then I have another really weird question. Oh, yeah. So, I know it's impossible to gauge completely, but, like, how long does it usually take to sell a house? Like, if it's priced pretty close to where it should be, 2, 3 months, six months?
If you're in a hot area and you price it right, I mean, it could sell in a matter of days. So I always tell people, if you price it right, and you have, if you have 10 to 15 people through your house and you don't have an offer, you might not have it priced correctly. So I think 15 qualified buyers is a good sample size to assess your home.
All right. And that's something that real estate agents can really help you with. And so why is your name Monticello and you work in Monticello? What is that about?
Oh, no. My name's Monticello because that's the name that I was born with. And I live in Albany,
I know,
New York.
It's weird.
I don't live in Monticello, though, just to clarify. I live in Albany, and I work in the Capital Region. We don't have an office yet in Monticello, New York.
Pete is in Albany. Pete, go ahead.
Yes, we recently sold a second home, so we haven't invested the cash yet, kind of holding it in anticipation of buying something else. What are the what might the advantages be of paying cash for a house as opposed to a mortgage? In terms of would we have a better bargaining position, and what other factors might you consider?
It really depends on the market, where you are and where you're purchasing. Cash usually trumps, which means that, you know, it is very favorable to, for a seller to accept a cash offer. However, in a seller's market, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a much better price. The terms of the contract improves a lot as well, because now you're not waiting for a mortgage or a third person to approve the loan. And you could technically close within a two-week time frame, because all you need to do is pull title report. So the time frame is shortened, and removing the bank out of the equation is a really favorable term for a seller to review.
And you can also save yourself some money. You're going to save about $1,000 in bank fees, and then you're going to save about 1.5% of the sale price in between title insurance, if you were not to get it, and the mortgage, New York State mortgage recording tax.
Okay. Will the seller possibly save a little money too, because I'm paying cash?
No.
That's a bargaining point?
No.
No. I'm sorry? The only thing they might do is if you could potentially move up the closing by 2 or 3 weeks, you know, if time was really important to the seller.
They may not have to pay the mortgage payment,
right?
Taxes. So everything that's been already prepaid, the prorated numbers will be a little bit less for the seller if you can close earlier. So really, again, the timing is, I guess, the most favorable part of it.
Right. And then the fact that I'm in my taxes, I'm no longer even with a mortgage, probably able to itemize. So it's probably not as advantageous to get a mortgage that way.
Well, I think one argument for getting a mortgage is if you think, you know, if you can get a mortgage at an investment mortgage might be at 4% interest rate, but you can make 8 or 10% in the market, that's a good reason to get a mortgage, right? But some people look at it differently.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there still variable rate mortgages that can go up and down? Yeah. Are they very popular? It's kind of a risk.
I haven't seen one in a long time.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes they have like a fixed. They have, like, we were talking about an ARM where it's a variable rate, but it's fixed for a term of 5 or 10 years.
Oh.
And so sometimes for a buyer who's going to be in a house for 7 years, a 10-year variable rate mortgage is acceptable, meaning it's going to be fixed for 10 and then it becomes variable after that.
But again, the interest rates are so cheap,
yeah.
Money's so cheap to, you know, borrow right now, that those
might as well lock it in.
Like I say to people, okay, so you may save a 0.25% on a variable interest rate right now. However, what's going to happen the next 10 years if you could lock in at, you know, 3.8, 4.0, I think you're in much better condition.
Renata Lewis is with us, also Alex Monticello, who doesn't live in Monticello. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Kurt is in Nassau. Kurt.
Hi, I'm considering selling the house I've lived in all my life, and I'm really not crazy about all the staging and all the fancy prep to boost the price. What's the deal on selling as is?
All right, so when I look at as is, I look at two things. I look at as is as far as condition, so we're going to price it based on no improvements, based on, you know, maybe wallpaper, you know, older kitchen, older bathroom. So that's one condition. Another as is condition is, do we have any majors that could potentially come up at a home inspection? You know, is everything functioning, like the furnace, hot water heaters, roof, is it leaking, windows, are they broken? Because that, you know, as is condition is fine, because it's just a matter of, I want to go in there and improve it. As is, you know, roof is leaking and furnace is not kicking on, it's going to hinder the type of buyer that you're going to bring in and the type of mortgage that they're going to be able to get for that property.
Is it as common as it once was, the handyman special?
No. I actually I just had this discussion. The biggest change I've seen in the market is buyers are really looking for condition. they don't want to do much work. So it will, you know, you do have to factor in the price based on if you were to finish everything, how much would it cost you? And you do have to adjust that because the buyers will definitely be adjusting that accordingly.
Right. Okay, I appreciate your information. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. Right after the house inspection, which usually means there's a purchase coming up and some things are found, can the price be lowered then, some renegotiation?
Yeah, so the way the contract that we use is if there's a significant defect, and a significant defect is defined as something that's going to cost more than $1,500, comes up on the inspection, the buyer has a right to cancel the contract or renegotiate the price.
Okay.
The seller is under no obligation to do anything. The seller can simply say no, but then the buyer can cancel and walk away.
800-348-2551. Michael in Troy. Michael.
Hi there, guys. Thanks for doing this today.
Sure.
I have a question. I'm a first-time homebuyer who is new to the region, and in looking at homes, shopping around, I'm just very shocked by the height, the level of the property taxes in the region, and how would that factor in how much house I could afford, or just looking at homes in general?
It's a big factor. So you need to, you know, you need to see if you're looking in Troy. You know, say the taxes are $6,000, you're basically dividing that by 12, and that's part of your mortgage payment. And then on top of that, you're adding your mortgage payment, and then on top of that, you're including your homeowner's insurance. And if you don't have 20% down, you're adding mortgage insurance on top of that. So it's a big part of your, you know, budget. So I would definitely suggest you speak with a lender just to give you an idea of what that looks like and where your comfort zone is as far as a total monthly mortgage payment, and then work yourself backwards to see what type of house you can afford.
I'm looking in further afield areas as well, and I just noticed a vast difference between what the taxes are, though I'm just very confused of how a home would get reassessed, or if you have any information about, like, how accurate do I know the tax rates would be for a home.
You could always go to the town. You could find it online. I always suggest if you really like a property, you know, make a trip to the city, to the town hall, and get, you know, the full assessment, when it was last reassessed, when do they expect to reassess it again, and exactly what those taxes are. They're not always listed accurately. There is exemptions that people add on to the taxes, whether it's a senior or a vet, or just extra taxes that have been reduced for whatever reason. So you just want to make sure that when you become the homeowner, that's not going to change drastically on your end, because that could influence the mortgage payment a lot.
Great. So it sounds like doing the footwork and going to town hall is the best bet for that.
I would. I mean, if you're working with an agent, we help you with that process. You know, some agents will post taxes without any exemptions, and they post them as accurate. And then there's times where it is estimated, and you need to do a little due diligence on your end.
Great. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you very
Good
much.
Luck.
800-348-2551. The assessed value of your home, the lower the better when it comes to paying taxes. But if it's too low and you want to sell it, does that hurt the selling price? Why should I pay $300,000 if it's assessed at $130,000?
Because you're getting a $300,000 house that has a low tax rate.
Yeah.
Two different things, though. So, appraisal and assessment. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, with all due respect to the tax assessor, they don't always have the most accurate market value of your property.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm assessing a house, I don't. The only thing you're going to look at the tax assessment for is to determine what the tax payment is, but it's not going to be an accurate reflection of market value.
And the assessor never goes in the house.
No, they don't know. And oftentimes they may miss improvements that are made.
Yeah. They don't see the new furnace.
They don't see the new furnace or always see the updated kitchens and baths or... we don't use tax assessment to determine market value when we're advising a client on what to list it for or what to pay for it.
Do most lenders still put your tax payment into escrow for you? I know some have stopped. I used to have a mortgage that they did that. Then they said one day, we're not going to do it anymore. So the taxes were up to me once a year, twice a year.
So it really is, if you put 20% down, you have an option.
Yeah.
And it really, I think, depends on the banks, too. There's some banks that don't give you that option. If you have at least a 20% down payment on your mortgage, you do not have to escrow your taxes. So you can choose not to do that, and you just get a big bill in September for your school taxes and January for your city or property taxes, and you pay that bill when it comes in.
Right.
Most people choose to escrow. It's just easier for them to budget and not have to make that big payment out when it comes.
But like you say, some lenders just won't do it.
Some lenders just won't do it. They want that escrow in there because no matter what happens, you know, we came out of a market that was a pretty soft market, a lot of hardship. Taxes need to get paid no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it protects the lenders carrying that mortgage that they know that the taxes will get paid if it's escrowed.
Tim is in Rhinebeck. Tim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have heard that when you take your loan, if you were to make an extra additional mortgage payment per year, you can greatly reduce the term of your loan. So, for example, if you had a 30-year mortgage and you extra mortgage payment per year, that you could reduce it down to somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 years.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I don't know if it's 23 or 25 years, but absolutely. And there's also an option. Some banks offer a biweekly payment. So essentially you make a payment every 2 weeks. So you end up making that you make an extra payment in total by the end of the year.
I have heard that option as well.
Right? And I would recommend
it. You don't have to go in and make an additional payment, or you don't have to go speak to somebody and then actually increase how much you're paying per month.
Correct. Yeah. No, if you're shopping for a mortgage, it's worth asking your loan officer if a biweekly payment is available. And I encourage everybody to sign up for it.
Yeah. The caveat on that is, though, if you do send an extra check for that extra payment, just make sure that you write on there that it goes towards your principal, not your interest. Because I've heard stories where they put it towards your interest and that doesn't influence anything.
Yeah.
So just make sure that you're very, very particular on that check towards principal.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I was about to say that when you're first paying a loan, the early years are just almost all interest. And the principal is, you know, a nickel and the rest of it's $1,000.
Yes.
Not quite.
We always tell people not to look at that page.
Yeah, I did. I made that mistake once. 800-348-2551. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 30 years, QFCC.com. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 49 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Bang on a Can's Loud Weekend, 30 concerts in 3 days, Sun Ra Orchestra, and the music of Brian Eno, Pauline Oliveros, and Philip Glass this weekend. MassMocha.org. And Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing the greater Capital Region with custom display cases, trade show exhibit fabrication, interactive kiosks for nationwide conferences, special events, and museum exhibitions. EmpireExhibits.com.
Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello are here. Your calls at 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions and comments. WAMC Vox Pop. Twitter from Johnny. I just bought a new house and used an FHA loan. Is there a way to do away with the mortgage insurance? Does it go away at some point? Do I need to pay down a certain amount?
You read our minds. We were just talking about that. So FHA, how many years ago? 5 years ago? About 5-6 years ago, they actually made it a new rule that you cannot remove the mortgage insurance on an FHA loan, and it stays for the lifetime of the loan. So the only thing you can do is refinance and get yourself out of that loan.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Rebecca in Kingston. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Hi. I was just wondering about the ethics requirements of sellers, agents, because I recently bought a house, and it was a bidding war, and we put in a bid, and then we kept getting contacted through our agent emails that said, we really, really like you. We want you to get the house, but would you offer more? And we were getting them like every day for a week, and it was kind of creepy. And as the time went, we were paying cash. So as the time went on, we got kind of annoyed and decided to decrease our offer, and we got the house.
Interesting.
Congratulations.
So I feel like we were being played.
I guess different states. And so when there is a multiple offer situation, I guess the question you need to ask is, how is it being handled? Is it a multiple offer form going out? Or is the seller looking at all offers at a particular date and time? And are they choosing one? Are they negotiating each offer individually? Or are you just negotiating against yourself? So a little bit more.
It was highest and best.
So it was the highest and best. So there was more than one offer on the table.
And then they told us that we weren't the highest, that they liked us better. Mm.
And then they called you every day?
How could they like us
better? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they sent emails to our agent, which she forwarded to us, saying how much they liked us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not as if we ever met.
Yeah. Highest and best doesn't always mean highest and best. It gets everybody to the table at the same time. And ultimately, the seller can choose to continue to negotiate. So it really is a seller's choice to do that. You know, as far as a buyer, you just need to trust the agent that you're working with and that ethically she's doing what is in your best interest at all times.
Right, but you don't have to trust what the seller's agent says? They can say anything?
Well, no, she has her ethics as well, but she's not representing your best interest. She's representing the seller's best interest. So if the seller is telling her continue to negotiate, try to get more money, that's her job to do so. You know, your agent needs to make sure that she has enough proof to make sure that there is a legitimate multiple offer and whether or not, and discuss with you whether or not the value is there. It's
right.
It's a tough situation. It really is. Multiple offers are never fun. Ultimately, you know, the sellers and the buyers have a bottom line and you need to decide, you know, how far you want to push that.
Rebecca said she was getting emails every day. Most people don't make bids every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That sounds like it may have been sort of a robo situation of an email that just kind of went out.
Well, they liked her because she was a cash offer. They probably had other offers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what kind of other terms are the other offers? If they were a mortgage, they wanted the cash. The cash could have been a little bit lower, and they got her up to the same price as the mortgage was without having that mortgage contingency.
Let's talk to Carl in Dutchess County. Carl.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have just a two-part question. The first is quick and easy regarding a cash advantage that you mentioned earlier. I was wondering if you're putting cash down in a home, let's say the retail asking price is around $350,000. Is there sort of a crude ballpark that you can make regarding, you know, a cash down advantage? In other words, if I'm offering a quick cash settlement, you know, is it as far as what it may mean towards that seller, whether it be like maybe a $10,000 ballpark advantage or? That was the first part question.
Yeah, in this market where it's a seller's market and oftentimes a property can generate multiple offers, sometimes a cash offer won't actually provide much of a cash advantage. If I had to handicap it, maybe it's $5,000 to $10,000, but I think it depends on the seller. Cause I think most sellers, if they feel highly confident in the buyer, even if they're getting a mortgage, if it's qualified from a local reputable lending institution, they may be willing to go with that offer, even though it may take 2 weeks more to close for the extra $10,000.
I see. Great.
It's an individual thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you have a caveat to that?
No, I was just saying it's a very individual thing to each property and each negotiation. It really, you know, what's the seller situation, what's the buyer situation, and, you know, where is this and what type of market we're in.
Exactly. A lot of variables. And secondly, more importantly, though, was I'm also down in the Dutchess, the increasingly pricier area of Dutchess County, and I was weighing the advantages of I'm currently renting here, but I was weighing the advantage of purchasing a home here versus, say, the less expensive, less taxed Columbia County, just to the north. And obviously, that's kind of a no-brainer. The farther out you go, you tend generally get more house and more land for the same amount. But I was wondering, for example, if you had any particular comments on, the advantage of buying into a pricier, more desirable area like a Dutchess. In other words, is there any sort of downside that you might point out to someone like me if I wanted to pay a little more money to be in say, a Dutchess, so for example, like a Rhinebeck?
I would say location. To me, it's location and timing. How long do you intend to hold on to that property? So location always.
And I am not. That's a good point. I am not a flipper. I'm looking for a long-term home.
So, I mean, if you're in a good location, you're going to hold on to it for at least 5 to 7 years. You know, I would say Dutchess County, just because, the resale, I'm a big resale junkie. If you're in a better community or just a community that's selling it a little bit higher, the market value of that property is going to increase at a little bit of a higher and greater pace than a property that may be in a lower priced market. So, you know, really sitting down and discussing with yourself or a financial advisor, what are your intentions with this property? You know, when are you going to be reselling it? What's the best use for this property? And, you know, ultimately what the market value is going to look like, 7, 10, 15 years from now.
Yes, and well, as I've been told by realtors in the area here, that even across the line north into Columbia County, that already those prices have been going up gradually over the years, and so hence there's no longer really any great deals per se. So I tend to agree with you that if you can put your money down on a more solid bet like a Dutchess in the long term, I think it does work to your advantage.
Thank you very much for calling, Carl. The closer you get to New York City, the higher the price usually.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's why Dutchess probably is higher than Columbia. 800-348-2551. Harriet, you've been waiting a long time. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I own a house free and clear that I've had for many years, and I am wanting to sell it. And I'm interested in what advice you would give to me if I told you that I wanted to do seller financing.
Well, I think I think you need to be careful of doing seller financing. One recommendation I would have is I would require the buyer to get pre-qualified with a reputable local lending institution to make sure that another bank would actually give them a mortgage. The theory being if another bank won't give them a mortgage, I wouldn't take their mortgage. The second thing to consider would be making sure that you have a large lump sum up front. I think generally, seller financing is riskier, and usually most sellers would recognize they're better off just getting the lump sum up front rather than try to hold the mortgage.
Well, that has tax consequences, and a lot of times people are interested in not doing that because of tax consequences.
Is this your primary residence?
Nope.
Okay. So I guess if there are tax implications, that there could be a different benefit to that. But you're going to have some taxes, right? Because you're going to be any interest that you earn, you'll pay taxes on.
Oh, definitely, right.
So I guess that would be a good reason to do it. But my recommendation would be to make sure that the buyer is highly qualified and make sure you're getting a large payment and maybe consider a smaller term. Duration of the mortgage.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Harriet. 800-348-2551. Lena in Kingston.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Go ahead.
Just a quick question. So I currently own a home, and I'm thinking of buying another home and renting out my existing home. So I'm wondering, I would need to get a mortgage to purchase a second home to live in. How is the existing mortgage that I hold looked at by a bank? Would it be seen as debt because I still owe money on it, or would it be seen as income because I plan to rent it out?
It will be seen as both. So as long as you, when you look at, when you start speaking with the lenders, you need to let them know, I need to get pre-qualified to purchase a new home, and this is my intention. I know I have a mortgage on my current home, but I'm going to intend to rent it. They're going to need some statistics on what kind of rental income that you're going to be receiving on that end. And there is a way that they can prorate that. Without any past history rental, though, it may be a difficult task.
I think they may need an actual, in order to count income, they're going to need an executed lease.
So the history of it may be hurting you since it's never been rented before.
Right. But as long as you think you can get it leased and you get it leased, then that income will offset the debt, which would be the taxes and the mortgage.
Gotcha. Okay. So I would have to walk into a lender for my new mortgage with an existing lease in hand, or at least a plan from someone to rent it.
Right. You may not need that executed lease until, you know, a few weeks before closing, but definitely you would need to probably execute that prior to closing, unless your income was great enough that that debt and the mortgage and taxes didn't throw your debt to income ratio out of balance.
Or if you have enough equity in your current home, you can pull that out with a HELOC, home equity loan, and use that towards your new purchase. So that will just outweigh some of those ratios for the bank. Best suggestion, sit down with somebody that has done this before, and they will give you all your options, and you choose the one that best fits what works for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you. A few minutes left on Vox Pop with Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello. Amy, go ahead in Poughkeepsie.
Hi. I also have a question about tax implications. My brother is going to buy me out of a beach house that we own together, and I'd like to take that money and hold on to it for a few years and then eventually buy a different beach house. So I don't know who to speak to about what to do with that money. Do I speak with a tax attorney or an accountant or a tax lawyer?
I would recommend an accountant, because I think it depends on how you came into that property, how you took title to it, and if there was
it was owned by our grandfather who left it to us.
Okay, so you inherited.
And then he's
going to
buy me out, and so I obviously want to minimize the capital gains or the inheritance tax or whatever I'm going to have to pay on that, and I
would find
out. I don't
know
what professional that's going to help me.
I think there's a year that you can hold on to that money and put it into another home. I don't think there's
a 1031 exchange. So if you if it is an investment property, there's something called a 1031 exchange, where you can reinvest it. But the amount of time,
my understanding
it's 6 months, I think.
Is the 1031 though is only for a U.S. property to a U.S. property? I believe this is a Canadian property, and I would like to buy a U.S. property. So is there something equivalent to a 1031 that I can go from a different country?
Not sure, but let me ask you this. If it's a Canadian property and you sell, you definitely need to talk to an accountant because...
An accountant, okay.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend talking to.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's 800-348-2551. Fred is in Cohoes. Fred.
Hi, I have a 1930s Cape Colonial that I'm getting ready to put on the market, and I'm hearing from real estate agents who have walked through it that the bathroom and the kitchen are the most important things and that we should, you know, spend money to upgrade. Is that still currently the case, or is that just sort of normal banter?
It's pretty normal. So the thing is, if you haven't done that to date and you're ready to sell, you need to speak to an agent to make sure that you're going to get that return on the investment so quickly. So if you had, spent some money, 3 years ago redoing the kitchen and six years ago redoing the bathroom, that condition and that improvement holds value. If you're going to go in and do it right now and spend the money right now, you just need to know how much it's going to cost you and whether or not it's going to influence that value enough for you to, take that project on.
Okay. And just one other thing about kitchens, stainless steel, still the popular choice?
I would say so. Stainless steel, granite, backsplash, hardwood floors, recessed lighting.
Yeah.
I could go on.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
What is it with bathrooms? I mean, you probably spend the less amount of time in the bathroom than any other room, but people really want a nice bathroom, don't they?
But you use it every day, several times a day.
Same with the
Some people spend more time in the bathroom. Right?
Yeah.
That's true.
And same with the kitchens. They want the granite countertops and the metal appliances.
Oh, that's where you entertain. You know, it's materials that hold up, and it's just something that's easy to maintain.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, any house with just one bathroom, make it amazingly awesome because that's what's going to help sell.
Especially if there's five kids.
Oh, yeah.
We are just about out of time. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those, unfortunately, that we left on the line. Thanks to Alex Monticello and Renata Lewis for joining us today. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Jewish Festival, presenting Who Will Write Our History, recounting the story of writers, scholars, and artists in the Warsaw Ghetto should they not survive. August 12th, 7 p.m., Temple Sinai, SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world, WaldorfSaratoga.org. Our engineer today, Rob Chacon, our producer, Jim Lavoulos. Tomorrow, Gordon Fricke is back. Automotive repair and maintenance tips. Right now, it's 51%.